Numbers chapter 20, beginning verse 1. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord! And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us unto this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, Thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, we heard our voice, and sent an angel, and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders. And Edom said unto him, Thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, We will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, Thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border. Wherefore Israel turned away from him. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which have I given unto the children of Israel, because he rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor. And strip Aaron of his garments, and put them on Eleazar his son. And Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron died in the top of the mount, and Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. Father, we thank you for your holy word. Thank you that it's been preserved through the ages for us to benefit from. We just pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would take it and make it a living word, that our minds might understand what happened and what you'd have us to learn, and that our hearts might be changed and conformed more to your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we've been through a lot in Numbers so far. Matter of fact, we just kind of whizzed over 40 years here. We've gone by, and of course the people have come to Kadesh Barnea when they first began to enter the land. They came there, but that's where the 12 spies were sent out, and the 10 came back and said, we can't do this. It's too strong. The people are too big. The cities are too strong. We can't do it. And only Joshua and Caleb said, we can go. So they refused to go in, and God says, all right, I've cursed all you that are 20 years of age and older, and you are going to die in the wilderness over the next 40 years, and your children are going to go in. Well, we've been just through that 40 years now. We're right at the end of that. They have wandered in the wilderness, and one by one, the older generation has died off. The children have grown up, and now we're again at Kadesh. We're again at the south end of the Promised Land, right there where they sent the spies from before. And they're there. They've come to this place again. And again, the people grumble and complain. Chapter 20, verse 1. Then came the children of Israel. Now he's referring to them all as one whole. All the children of Israel, all 12 tribes. Even the whole congregation into the desert of Zin in the first month. This is believed to be the first month, the 40th year. After the 40 years are completed, we're now again at the first month, the time for Passover again. Here they are in the south of the Promised Land where they were 40 years ago. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. So now Moses has lost the first member of his family there. He's gone out with Miriam and Aaron, both his elders. And now Miriam, who at one point, 40 years ago, had rebelled against Moses. God judged with leprosy. Moses prayed for her, and she was healed. And then now he come here, and she has just died. He's lost his sister. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Well, they say history repeats itself. Well, it seems to, because every time they have a problem, what do? They go get mad at Moses and Aaron. We don't have any water. They should be thinking back, okay, what happened last time? Last time, God provided. It's happened over and over. But instead, they have the same reaction as before. We're just dealing with the next generation now. Those 20-year-olds are now 60. Okay, so we've got a new generation there. And they come, and so they complain. Here we are, they look at their physical circumstances and say, we can't make it. We're going to die here. There's no water, which is pretty serious. You've got this whole millions of people and all their cattle and everything. They need a good bit of water. It is a need. But instead of, what are we supposed to do? Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, make your needs known unto God. We should say, they should be saying, Moses, Aaron, pray for us before the Lord that he would provide for our needs here. You know that praying for your needs is a legitimate prayer. They just don't have a legitimate attitude. And the people chode with Moses. They griped, complained, yelled, threatened, and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Here they go. They're always, oh, it'd be better if I were dead. You know, it's like, well, don't worry about it. Wait a few days and you will be. You know, it's not a big deal. But these men that God struck down, they're better off than we are. Why have you brought us up, the congregation of the Lord, into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt, to bring us into this evil place? Okay, I said, wait, why did you make us come out of Egypt? Now, wait a minute, who was hollering to be delivered from Egypt? You know, if they've forgotten that. Now, why did you drag us out? We were fine back in Egypt. Well, memory's a faulty thing. Sometimes we only remember the good parts. We don't remember the bad parts. I'm not remembering the slaves and the bricks and the whips and all that sort of stuff. So why did you bring us to this evil place? Well, this is the same evil place that they did this last time. They rebelled against God and were judged. He said, it's not a place of seed or figs or vines or pomegranates. Neither is there any water drink. He said, you promised us you'd bring us to a land flowing with milk and honey. And here we are, a land that doesn't even flow with water. Well, don't you remember what happened, guys? What happened was we were looking right into the land of milk and honey, and you wouldn't go. You refused to go and obey. It's a result of your disobedience. That's why we're here. So Moses and Aaron did the right thing. They went from the presence of the assembly, so they left the mob, and they went into the tabernacle. For one place, it's probably safer over there. They can't go where we're going, and they can't follow you. So let's go seek God's face, which is the first thing we should always do in time of crisis. When things are both, instead of arguing about it or trying to find our own ways, go seek God's face. So they immediately go to the tabernacle. And they fell upon their faces, humbled themselves before God, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. So, you know, God says He hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. Here they are praying, God, what do we do? And His glory comes down. Obviously, the Lord is speaking with them. They see it. They hear His voice. The people at least see the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. So here they come. He says, okay, take the rod. Well, we know about the rod, right? The rod that he threw down before Pharaoh when he became a serpent and ate the other rod to the other magicians. And the rod he held up over the Red Sea, and it parted, and they walked upon dry land. You know, Aaron's rod budded before the Lord. So I don't know whether this is Moses' rod, this is Aaron's rod, but it's God uses those rods. And so this rod was apparently theirs. I tend to think it's Aaron's rod because Aaron's rod was in the Ark of the Covenant. And it said, take this rod that's before the Lord and go. In other words, that's the symbol of God's power. Take the rod. God is going to do this. And what is he supposed to do with it? Take the symbol of the power. Take the rod. But he said, speak to the rock. Go and speak to that rock, and it's going to give forth water. Well, we know that this rock symbolizes Jesus Christ. And the New Testament tells us so, that Jesus Christ was the rock in the wilderness that provided their water and so forth. So now he says, go, take the rod, and speak to the rock. And Moses took the rod before the Lord as he commanded it. So far, so good. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. That's what he said. And he said unto them, now wait a minute. I thought he said speak to the rock, not to the people. Now is when he takes his first step outside God's clear direction. Moses has taken the rod. He's gathered the people. He's right in God's will because he's doing what God said right there. But now, while I've got y'all here, I've got a few things to tell you. Okay? Well, God didn't say that. Remember, we've had this formula for the last two books we've been studying. We've had, and the Lord said unto Moses, and the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, tell the people this. Well, so Moses is used to that. That's it. God said, gather the people and do this. But this time God said, speak to the rock. He didn't say anything about tell the people a thing. But Moses is about at the end of his rope, I can imagine. Here are these people. When they first came out of Egypt, what did they do? They grumbled and complained for water. As a matter of fact, in a place they call it Meribah, just like they call this Meribah. They've continually rebelled. Moses has intervened for them over and over and over again. But this time, he's just had it. And he wants to give them what for. So he starts off and he starts speaking to the people. And he says, hear now, ye rebels. Okay, starts calling them names to begin with. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Wait a minute, Moses. You're getting off the script here. This is not what God said to do. Moses is supposed to be demonstrating God to the people. Matter of fact, as we know, Moses didn't at the time, but as we know, he's giving a powerful illustration of Jesus Christ. We get this in the New Testament. He explains it all. This rock is Jesus Christ. He is our rock, and he's our provision. He is the source of living water. And he's going to demonstrate that, but he's doing it his way, not God's way. I mean, he's trying to accomplish it. He's trying to go and do it, but he's just doing it in himself. He's mad, and I think that kind of gathers. I mean, not that they don't deserve it, but, you know, God has forgiven these people, hasn't he? Now, they've gotten certain punishments. They've had 40 years in the wilderness, and they've had plagues, and they've had this and that. But when Moses prayed, he prayed that God would forgive the people and not destroy them. He didn't, did he? And he didn't hold a grudge against them either. Now, Moses has been there. He's been good. He's been praying for the people. But I think he's gotten a little bitter about it. He's hung in there. He's hung on to a little bit of that, saying, you know, if I hadn't been praying for you people, you'd been out of here. You know, he's hanging on it. Well, when you forgive people, which is a necessary part, we're told, just as we've been reading in John, God loves us, we should love others. God has forgiven us, we should forgive others. When you forgive somebody, you need to go all the way. Or people say, well, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. No, that's human. That's not God's way. God even forgets our sins. When we come before the judgment throne, God is not going to hold one sin against us. He's not going to say, okay, remember all this terrible stuff you did? See how good I am for letting you in anyway? No, they're gone. They're covered by the blood of Christ. They're separated as far as east is from west. Our sins are gone. When we forgive somebody, it's gone. So I think Moses held on to a little bit of it. And what happens when you hold on to a little bit of it? It's bitterness. And the root of bitterness goes deep and it cankers and it grows. And so now when they've done this, Moses just says, that's it. I'm sick and tired of you people acting this way. Well, no, this is a fresh start. Yes, they're rebelling now, but it's a fresh start. You can't hold the rest against them. You've forgiven that. So he hollers, here now, ye rebels, must we fetch water out of this rock? It's like, look what you're doing to me. Well, it doesn't have anything to do with Moses. It has everything to do with God. And God said, I heard him grumble, and here's how I want you to deal with it. Moses doesn't need to be taking a personal offense about this at all. God is dealing with this. But his attitude is, let it get him. And who can blame him? But he's let it get him. He's tired of this rebellious people, and he feels like it falls on him to save them again. Well, I hate to tell you this, but Moses can't get water out of a rock. Only God can get water out of a rock. It's not going to be Moses that saves these people. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. And you know, I can imagine, I don't think he just went tap, tap. I think he hauled off and he was swinging to the fences with this one. You know, he just really waxed it, which it doesn't matter how hard you hit this rock. But Moses is mad and he feels like it's up to him. And so he hauls off and he whacks this rock, not once, but he whacks it twice. And what happens? Lightning comes out of heaven and smacks Moses because he disobeyed? No. And the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and the beast also. So God's will was accomplished, wasn't it? They prayed for water. Maybe the wrong attitude, but they had. God said, I'm going to give them water. Told Moses to go speak to the rock and give them water. And Moses did wrong. Moses disobeyed and Moses struck the rock. Not once, but twice. But you know, God accomplished his will in spite of Moses. He still opened up the rock and gave them the water they needed. Now, he's going to judge Moses for it. But in one way, that's kind of a relief. Even when the leaders are at fault, God still accomplishes his will. He didn't punish the whole people for what Moses did here. Now, he does sometimes, as we see in David. We see the people suffer because of David's actions. But God opened up the rock, gave the water anyway, even though Moses disobeyed. Now, what was he supposed to do? He was supposed to speak to the rock. Instead of going out there and saying, you bunch of rebels, look what you're making me do. He should have been saying, God the Father has said, rock, you are supposed to bring forth water. And so I speak on behalf of God, what God said, give us water. He's supposed to be speaking to that rock, and it would have opened right up and given the water, just as it did here. He didn't have any need to strike it as he did. And here, there's many places this is referred to. One example, Psalm 106:32. They angered him, speaking of Moses, also at the waters of strife, or Meribah, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes. So Moses does hold this against them too. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. I mean, immediately, okay, there's the water. I'm sure everybody's scrambling, grabbing their water skins, and the animals all running for it and this and that. But then God said, Moses and Aaron, I got something to tell you. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, and it's both of them, because ye believed me not. Well, didn't they kind of believe God? I mean, he went up there and whacked that rock and got water out of it. I mean, he was confident God was going to give him the water. Yeah, but that's not the way God said to do it, was it? God said, go speak to the rock. Now, the last time God said, smite the rock. He did. That's what Moses' experience was. He said, well, when I'm hit it, I know that works. You know, well, no. What works is what God says. But here, he didn't believe God because he didn't do what God told him to do. It's just like us. We want to worship God. Everybody wants to go to heaven. I don't know any. Well, there's a few people. There was some guy on trial for a horrible murder this week, and I don't know anything about the guy, but he's had horns implanted in his head, so this guy probably has some very ungodly life practices. And when the jury convicted him, he said, "I'll see you in hell." Okay, so I guess he's planning to go to hell. He's already sold out that direction, but I want to say, no, I'm not going to be there. If you want to see me when you talk about Jesus Christ, I'm not going to go there. But God said, you didn't believe me. You didn't do what I told you to do. Because to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, what God wanted, now Moses is standing up there because he's upset because they're blaming him for the lack of water. And he did go to God for the answer, but now he's going to go back to people and he's acting like he's giving them water. God said, no, you were supposed to sanctify me in their eyes. That's your job, is to glorify God, not yourself. You know, you may be the best rock striker around, but you know, that's kind of like divining water or whatever. It's not man's ability. This is God. He said, you were supposed to sanctify me in their eyes. Say, the Lord said, speak unto this rock. And he gives forth water. You glorify God's name. Therefore, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. So the people, the original generation, didn't get to go in because they disobeyed God. So they died out. Now their children are ready to go in. But Miriam didn't make it. She just passed away. Now Moses and Aaron, God says, you're not going in either. You've been here through this 40 years, but I'm not going to allow you to go into the land because you've disobeyed me. You know, we want to worship God the way we want to worship God, but you know, we need to worship God the way God says to worship God. Yeah. I pick on Rick Warren a lot, but this isn't even picking on him. He was actually praised highly by a college professor that I saw a video of. It was a marketing video. And he, out of his all of his examples, he could have come up with a great marketing. He picked Rick Warren. He talked about how he, while he was in seminary, he wanted a big church. So he studied the demographics and looked and found that Orange County, California was the fastest growing area in the country. And it was also a prosperous, high-income area. And there were a very high percentage of people in that area that didn't go to church. And so he went out to that area and he knocked on every door and asked if they went to church or not. And if they did, fine, move on. He was looking for the unchurched. And then if he got somebody that didn't go to church, he said, well, why don't you? What would you like to see in a church? And he built a church based on that. And it's been very successful in terms of numbers and growth and money and all those things. And so this guy was saying, you know, if you're an entrepreneur going into business for yourself, that's the way to go find your market. You pick your target market and go ask them what they want and deliver to them what they want. Well, yeah, people like that, right? We want what we want. You know, when you go to the store, there's 50 kinds of dishwasher detergent. And, you know, all this because we want the one with the green bubbles in it or whatever. You know, what do people want? That's what the marketer is always trying to figure out. God doesn't work that way. God doesn't say, okay, you people, what do you want? You want water. How would you like to get it? Do you prefer to get your water for the spoken word or for banging on a rock or turning on a faucet? What's your preferred method of getting water? You know, God doesn't care. What we want, God gives us what we need. And what they needed right then was to have God glorified and sanctified and have a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ, who's our rock in the desert, our source of living water. That's what he gave them. Well, when Moses didn't do it that way, he messed it all up. Now, God goes anyway, in spite of our mistakes and our failings. God comes through anyway, doesn't he? God accomplishes his purposes. You know, I believe that, I know we can get worked up about, you know, we didn't witness to such and such person, and that's wrong. We'll be held accountable if we were supposed to witness to him and we didn't. But I think God will send someone else. That doesn't give us an excuse not to do it. It's just like Esther, when she was supposed to go to the king at risk of her own life and ask for the lives of her people. She said, but it could cost me my life. But Mordecai said, who knows? That God may have brought you in this position for just a time as this. Now, God's going to save his people one way or another. But if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you will suffer the consequences. You and your family will suffer for it. He may not save you, but he'll still save his people. Well, I think if we don't witness as we should, I think God's going to get the message to them somehow. But that doesn't mean no good. I don't have to worry about it because it's going to be on us that we didn't do what we should do. Here the punishment was on Moses because he didn't do what he should do. You believe me not, so you won't see the land. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. So God still glorified himself. He still provided the water, but Moses missed his chance to be the one to lead him in that land. And you know, that's his whole life's work. That's what he's done. That's what he's put up. That's what would be his ultimate victory, if he could at least march the people into the land. That's what he wants to do, bring them into this land. And God said, because of your sin, you're not going to get to do that. And I think that happens. And I think that's a picture of, that's believers. I mean, nobody's going to accuse that Moses wasn't a believer in God. Okay, the greatest prophet of the time, all this, with closer relationship with God than anybody else. But sometimes our lives and our ministries get cut short because of our own sin. If we disobey God, we do things our way instead of God's way, sticking to his, then he can cut your ministry short. Now he'll use somebody else. He still takes the people in, but he uses Joshua instead of Moses. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh, because they're in Kadesh Barnea, they're down in the Southland, okay? They're down below the Dead Sea. They're down south of that, in the northeast side of the Sinai Peninsula. So what's immediately to their east? The land of Edom. Edom is, Jacob and Esau, thank you. Edom is Esau. The descendants of Esau. And they've kind of been out of the picture here. Because we had, once they split up, we've been following Jacob. Jacob became Israel, the father of the 12 tribes. They became a nation down in Egypt, and God has brought them out. Well, now they're right there by the land of Edom again. Their closest relatives are here. Okay? From their father Israel, that's his brother. So here's all their cousins. And so their land is right there. And so they send messengers and say, you know all the trouble and travail that's happened to us. How we went down to Egypt for a long time and so forth. And then we heard the Lord's voice and he brought us out. And now we're right here on your border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through the country. We will not pass through the fields. We're not going to go through your fields and hurt your crops. We won't go through your vineyards and pick your grapes. Neither will we drink of your wells. We're going to carry our own water through. We just want to go right through. We're going to take the king's highway. We're not going to go out around your land. We just want to get through, pass through, because here they are. They're trying to get to the land, and they're in the south end. South is the desert and all. And where they enter is up at Jericho. So here they're south of the Dead Sea. They're going to move east. They want to move east and then come in up at Jericho. Okay? Well, they have to go to the land of Edom to do that. So they said, let us pass through. But Edom comes back and says, no, you won't. Verse 18, and Edom said unto them, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. He said, sorry, it's war. If you try to come in here, we're not letting you pass through our land. Even though you're our brother, our close relative, we're not going to allow that. And Edom came out with many people and a strong hand. Thus, Edom refused to give Israel passage through their border. Wherefore, Israel turned away from him. So God had told them, you're not going to get to conquer them like you conquered the other people that opposed you. Because he's your brother. You can't do that. So they've had to turn away. So they're going to have to go around Edom now. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. So instead of going east out through Edom, they've just gone up north a little bit. We don't know exactly where Mount Hor is, but it's a mountain there, peering into the promised land. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom. Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye have rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. So Miriam is already dead. Now Aaron, because he and Moses, I guess, agreed on this rock striking business and didn't obey God, that he's going to be judged now. He's going to go to the mountain. He's taking Eleazar, his son. And it's time to take off his priestly robes. Because these robes are not his, they belong to God. So they're on the high priest. So he's about to die. They take his priestly robes, give it to his son Eleazar, because he's his eldest living son. And he becomes the new high priest. And Aaron dies there in the mountain. And Moses did as the Lord commanded. They went up to Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. So everybody saw three men go up. They stripped Aaron of his garments, put them on Eleazar, his son, and Aaron died in the top of the mount, and Moses and Eleazar came down. They saw three men go up and two men go down, so they knew that he was dead. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. So they did honor him in his death, even though they'd been rebelling against him and this and that's happened. But God said, okay, it's time. The end of y'all's ministry is time to pass it to the next. Miriam died. Aaron has now died right there at the borders of the promised land. Now Moses gets a whole nother book to go. Of course, it's over a short period of time. And he gets to give them Deuteronomy, which is the second law. It's not a new law, a different law. It's the same law. He's just giving it to them again because he's got a new generation. Whole new generation of people. So before he dies, before they go into the land, they need to hear God's word, hear God's law. And Moses gets the opportunity to share that with them again and prepare them to go in. But then he doesn't go in, but he does. God does give him a privilege of being able to look over the land. He lets him go up and see and look out upon the land and see where the people are going to live, see that God's promise is being fulfilled.